to refer to this book, which Gemma gave me after the last time I preached. Do you remember what I preached about last time I was here, as a matter of interest? Anybody? See? Huh? I mean, is there a point? Yesterday, today, and forever. Carl, remember? And what was the second part of that? Janet Baker's not here. She is. Second part of the sermon was about do not worry. How are you getting on with not worrying? It's not easy, but that's what God says. Do not worry. Keep going. Keep trying. Keep doing your best. This book is far too clever for me. Gemma is obviously an intellectual way beyond. Have you reached the point where your children are cleverer than you? Have you reached that point? They're cleverer, they're earning more money, even your grandson is cleverer than you are, yeah? Have you reached that point where if you want something done that's technology related, you give it to your grandson and he sorts it out? I've reached that point with Gemma because she sent me this book because I think whatever I'd said, she made me think I ought to read this book. And it's a book that talks about the tide going out, but the tide coming back in of people believing in God, even in these days. And I want to read a passage from that in a moment or two. So, rather like the game we played earlier, the stand-up, sit-down game, I want us to play that again today. And I want you to be prepared for an interview, okay? You don't have to stand up and sit down, but in your mind, you have to stand up and sit down. It's all in your mind, okay? Don't shout out. Don't shout out. I know. It happened before. Okay. Have you ever considered how people perceive you? And whether they know that you believe in God? So to try and give us all something to think about, we're going to attend an interview. And the interview questions are sequential and ask you about your beliefs. And maybe we can have a discussion about it all later. So if you say no to any of these questions that are coming on the screen in a minute, in your mind, you have to sit down, okay? And it depends at what point, there are six questions, it depends at what point you say no that will determine the progress you're making, okay? And just imagine in your mind you're in for an interview. It's not a competition. I don't want you to start comparing yourself with anyone else. No one sees your answers, and there are no prizes this time, but there are no forfeits either, and definitely no human judgment involved. But don't decline the invitation, and please don't go to sleep. And don't shout out or share your answers. This is just about you. So in your mind, don't stand up, okay? But in your mind, stand up, sit down. Number one, please, Harry. Welcome to your interview. Question one, do you believe in God, yes or no? Because if you can't say yes to that, then we've reached a point where you need to listen to the rest of the message. Because the message is about fundamentally how you and why you give your life to Jesus. And it's why we do it. It's why all the preachers that are here today stand up at this pulpit to say, we're here because we want you to share the experience that we've had in following and becoming a person of faith. Question two. Do you believe that Jesus once lived on earth but was the Son of God? In other words, that he was man and divine. Is that possible? Do you know anybody else? One of the quilts that we saw yesterday was fascinating because it spoke about the time when Jesus starts to converse with Moses and Elijah on the top of the mountain. He goes up to the top of the mountain and the disciples come up and they see him conversing. And there's a picture of Moses, a picture of Elijah, a picture of Jesus talking to them. He was man, but he was divine at the same time. Question three, please, Harry. Do you believe that Jesus was crucified but then rose from the dead? Is it just an historical event? Do you believe in the history? Or do you believe that he genuinely rose from the dead? Now, until recently, I'd read a passage which I mentioned at the Tuesday prayer time about when he rose from the dead, when the angel appeared, there were earthquakes, and several other people rose from the dead and walking around and going into Jerusalem. And I'd missed that before. That's the good thing about Lent and Easter. You start to read passages that you haven't read for ages, and then suddenly something else will show itself. So are you still standing in your mind, or have you sat down already? Next question, please. Do you believe, question four, that by following Jesus, you will be forgiven, and by faith in God, you will be saved from the penalty of sin and given the promise of eternal life? Is it a yes or is it a no? If it's a no, we're not standing here and saying you're wrong. We're saying we need to persuade you to be able to say yes. We need you to find faith in God through Christ. We need you to open your heart to him and recognize that the sacrifice that he made that we remember at Easter time was for you as a person, not for us just as a corporate body of Christ in this place or all the other churches around who preach the same gospel. It's for you. It's personally for you. And that's why we pray for these kids who are in there, that they will come to the point where they realize it. And you might say, Mike, this is all so basic. It's all so fundamental. We know all this. We're ticking yes box every time. And I'm telling you, I go to places where people can't tick the yes box because they don't believe it. And you say, well, they look like they believe it. And I say, that's... Question five. Do you believe that this opportunity is open to everyone? Is there anyone who has such a bad past that they can't bring themselves to the cross and offer themselves? No. We preach the gospel that's open to everybody. You're not excluded. And even though you might have family who are not listening at the moment, don't exclude them from the opportunity that they may take. We need to pray for our children and our grandchildren. And for you, some of you, your great-grandchildren, that they will come to know God and that you will be an example that they can follow. Question six is the last one. Have you taken that opportunity to follow God and become a person of faith? Well, that's a personal one. I can't answer that for you. After I'd been to Filey that week and came back, eventually, on a September evening, in Five Ways, when Tom Butler was speaking, the Lord spoke to me and I became a Christian for the first time. It's quite a long time ago now. Not everybody can point to a date. Some people just evolve into being a person of faith. But look at question six. Have you taken that opportunity to follow God and become a person of faith? So all these interview questions, are you still standing up? Or have you sat down part of the way through? These are the fundamental foundations of our faith in Jesus Christ and are designed to persuade you to follow him. It's not difficult, but it is potentially life-changing. So next slide, please, Harry. So where do your answers lead you now? If you were having a work interview, you'd look back over your career and you'd say, well, I did this and I did that and I did the other and I was successful or I wasn't. And I'm asking you to think about your life now. Look back, have you had a successful career? not your work career, but your Christian career. If you look back over your life as a person of faith, has it been successful? Do you feel as though you've made progress, or are you worse off now? Are you further away from God now than you first were? These are the fundamental gospel good news questions applied through history. It's not new. I'm not preaching a new gospel. And you say, yeah, Mike, I tick all the boxes, no problem. Yes, 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 yes. So where does that leave you now? If you've answered yes to all of these, let me read you this this extract. You've probably got a slide for it somewhere, Harry. It starts, now before then, maybe. Try before then. It starts, I am not religious. There you go. This is a chap called Ben Sixsmith who works for the Spectator magazine. He said this: I am not religious, so it is not my place to dictate to Christians what they should and should not believe. Still, if someone has a faith worth following, I feel that their beliefs should make me feel uncomfortable for not doing so. If they share 90% of my lifestyle and values, then there is nothing especially inspiring about them. Instead of making me want to become more like them, it looks very much as if they want to become more like me. Is that what your report would say at the end of your career? Is it the point that you've reached in your Christian experience? Is that what they'd say? You want to look more like the people in the world than you do like Jesus. I know this is hard. I know this is tough. I understand this. It was tough when I read it. But it makes you think, are we trying to pander the ways of the world rather than being fundamental about our beliefs and standing up and saying, here we are, we following Jesus. Unashamedly and without fear, without inhibition. So this question, are you where you want to be? If you answered yes to all those questions, where do you go next? What are you going to do next? What's the contribution that you're going to make in terms of input into the world of this Christian experience that you've signed up for? If you look on the screen, the next one is the extract from the parable of the sower, and I'll paraphrase it just to help us with time. The farmer goes out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seeds, some fell on the path and the birds came and ate it. Some fell on rocky places where there wasn't much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown on the path. Is that you? Is that you? That the seed was once in your heart, but Satan came and took it away. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Is that you? That people you know who used to be here, but they're no longer here. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. A, B, C, which one? Or D? But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. So going back to the book, I could have chosen a story about the sheep. Are we like sheep who go astray? Everyone has found their own way. Are we like the lost sheep that we eventually found? That we wander off? That we adhere to the life of the world and not stand up for God? I know it's difficult because it's saying it to me at the same time. No one stands here to say, look at us, because we don't. We all say, look at Jesus, because he's, as Paul said earlier on, he's the only perfect one. That's who we point to. And at this time of Lent, as we talk about repentance and about coming back to God, so we need to think clearly about our relationship with him and where we should be doing and what we should be doing and what we should be offering to do. So are we so much like the rest of the world that we do not appeal to people to join us? I.e., there's hardly any difference. Is that fair? And I've put, what is your response? What should we do about it? I can't answer that. The others, please do come and find us later on. But if as a church we're going to make progress, we all have to be rowing in the same direction. And that involves a change of heart. And for so many reasons, that rings a bell. Let's sing this song.